living on board. They don't just drop into the neighborhood and leave. They really contribute to the community. So what I tried to do is just get a cross-section of different folks, artists and some business owners, a couple property owners, people that lived here, and then a handful of people that are still active in the community. They come as guests, but really their history here was from a decade or two ago. Having a snapshot of voices and a selection of those voices that capture that point in time and reflect on the neighborhood, I really wanted that to come across. The book is, it's a love story for the neighborhood. It's a love story about the neighborhood, and you can't really tell that story without multiple people contributing their voices to it.
For KFAI, I'm Dixie Treichel.
To hear more Mini Culture stories, visit kfai.org and click on the Mini Culture tab. Mini Culture on KFAI is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Listen to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and streaming on the web at kfai.org. And you're listening to Right on Radio, and my guest tonight is the fabulous Ann Reed. It's so delightful to see you, Ann. It's been a while. When I think of your music, I think of like four things: love songs, of course, and your funny songs, which are so funny, Power Tools and Walking the Dog and those songs. And then there's your songs about friendship. You write a lot of songs about friendship.
I do. And I seem to write a lot of songs about home. I seem to write a lot of songs about being home or going home, or I've noticed that over the past few years.
Well, you were saying when we were talking before the interview started that you have a song about home. Hole in the Day is a song about home. Why don't we do that?
Yeah, this is, I wrote this in like 1992, and it became the title song for one of the CDs, for the CD. And it was a song I was going to school when I went to my 1 year of college in 1974. I went to Bemidji, and every time I'd go up to Bemidji, I'd pass this place called Hole in the Day. And I had no idea there was Hole in the Day Lake, there was Hole in the Day Drive. I had no idea what it was. And so I found out after I wrote the song that there was an Ojibwe chief named Hole in the Day. And he was named that because he was born on the solar eclipse, which has nothing whatever to do with this song. So light peeking through, I'm on familiar ground. Colors all say, don't we know you? How come you ain't been around? I've been too far too long, I figured it out on my own. It's now in my sight, Dorothy was right. It's true, there is no place like home. On fire, they're burning but not consumed. They're finding a way brighter, higher and higher. Tonight they will color the moon. I've been too far too long, I figured it out on my own. It's now in my sight, Dorothy was right. It's true, there is no place like home.
back through the hole in the day. I've been too far too long. I figured it out on my own. It's now in my sight. Dorothy was right. It's true, there is no place like home. It's now in my sight. Dorothy was right. It's true, there is no place like home. Thank you, Ann Reed. We're listening to Ann Reed on Right On Radio, talking to singer-songwriters is the plan for me for the next several episodes that I do. So Ann is the beginning. And speaking of singer-songwriters and songwriting, let's talk a little bit about process. Well, first question, I guess, would be, did the words come first or does the music come first for you?
Well, usually I get something going on the guitar first to get a rhythm or kind of a feeling of the song as far as a mood, and for lack of a better word. But I kind of noodle around on the guitar until I find something. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, just some phrase will just pop into my head. And then I've got a bunch of, you know, I've got notebooks and stuff filled with just little... I'm glad nobody's going to find it. I think I'll have to burn them at some point. But, I mean, really, they wouldn't make any sense to anybody. They're little just phrases or ideas for songs.
Things that pop into your head while you're walking down the street.
Right, exactly.
See a sunset. And just,
or
you know,
something,
whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Do you write every day? Do you have a set time? How do you do that?
Well, I'm trying to, because I'm writing my second novel now. I'm now in the process of revising. I've done my first draft of it, and I do try to save my mornings for writing, because mm-hmm. that's when I'm the best. It's like when I'm the freshest. I get up very early, but I try to save that for writing. It just seems to be the time of day that works for me.
Is the first one available? Or are you going to get it published?
Oh, no, I self-published. My first novel is called Citizens of Campbell, and I'm just selling it myself. And
What's it about?
Citizens of Campbell is actually based on a character. It's kind of my dad, but not quite. But a couple of World War II veterans, and they're living in Iowa. And one of them is in the veteran's home, and has kind of a dream that he's always wanted to do, and his friend there is going to help him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know this about you.
Well,
a new facet of Ann Reed.
Surprise, surprise.
So, I want to go back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You were writing songs.
Yep.
You're singing songs at mm-hmm. camp and in church and all that. What brought you to the decision to perform, to be a performer with this music?
Yeah. You know, I met a person in my church folk group. Her name was Judy Foster, and she and I teamed up for a while. We were a duo for a while, and did college coffee houses and bars and whatever. And then when I decided to go solo, nobody would book me as a solo. But it was something that I just thought, this is a great thing to do. I mean, this is something that was really calling to me as far as writing songs anyway. The performance part ended up being kind of fun, and I enjoyed it. And I still do. So it's one of these things where I think when I remember seeing my very first concert was Peter, Paul, and Mary, and they were at the Minneapolis Convention Center. It was 1968. My oldest brother took me to this concert. I don't know why, but I remember seeing them, and they made that huge barn of a place just feel like the most intimate place you've ever been in. And I looked down there and I thought, well, this is what I want to do. I mean, they were, it was a community. I mean, the way they were leading people in songs and having people, some songs people just listened to, other songs they welcomed them to sing. And I was really inspired by that.
And how have your songs changed over the years?
They've gotten better.
They got better? Well, that's a good thing.
At least I hope so.
Has the topics that you are focused on changed? Or I noticed we were talking, too, before about Gift of Age and the idea that that isn't a CD that you probably would have written when you were 22.
No, but, you know, surprisingly, I mean, I remember writing a song called Life Gets Real, and I was probably in my 40s, maybe. And, you know, now I'm thinking, well, what did I know? I mean, really. But the song, actually, it holds up. And I thought, huh, what was happening there, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think you're, you know, if you have something that you feel is true, it just comes across. And, yeah. So, and I do, I think now I'm writing a lot about being older. I think I'm writing a lot of stuff that is about this whole process of being in the last part of your life. And I think it's an important thing to write about.
Can you sing Gift of Age for us?
I can, if I can just
gotta have
try
to change.
Reach my little lyrics here.
Oh, you can do it on the 12th string?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Did you ever think all those years ago that the world would be such a crazy show? Is there anything to be certain of save the gentle steps of the ones we love? As I trace the path grateful to have walked along this road with you, and I realize as I turn the page, this looking back is a gift of age. Are you anywhere you thought you'd be? Has it changed at all? What do you believe? As we mark the time and recall the past, did you ever think it would go so fast? And we welcome in and we say goodbye, each another star added to the sky. And where grace abounds, there are few complaints. This looking back is a gift of age. Was there ever any guide to the who and where and why? Couldn't plan this if you tried. Did you ever think all those years ago that the world would be such a crazy show? As we mark the time and recall the past, did you ever think it would go so fast? As I trace the path, grateful to have walked along this road with you, and I realize as I turn the page, this looking back is a gift of age.
That song chokes me up. Beautiful song. We've got Ann Reed in the studio with us here on Write On Radio, talking about writing, among other things. And I'm curious, in terms of writing and getting it out there, you know, making CDs and putting them out there, what prompts you to do that? What keeps you moving forward in your career?
Well, this is, I mean, it's different now. I mean, when I was touring, it just seemed like you had to have a reason to go out. You know, you always had to be promoting something. Otherwise, people wouldn't hire you. You know, these places, well, is she got a new recording out? And it's like, yeah, okay. So you would try to do what you could to get something out every, you know, year and a half, couple of years. And now it's a little different because of the availability of downloads and everything like that. The last bunch of songs that I've written have just been for download only. Now, I may just round them all up and put them on a CD at some point. But since Winter, Spring, Summer, Falls, I think, was my last CD, physicals. Oh, no, wait, that's wrong. I'm sorry. There was a very short CD called A Short CD from Somewhere in Her House or something.
Oh.
Yeah. Or no, Somewhere Outside Her House.
And these are all your songs.
Yes.
Have you ever recorded anybody's song that wasn't yours?
Yes. I have a whole CD that I recorded with Joan Griffith that's called Other People's Songs.
Oh, cool.
So we wanted to make that plain that they weren't mine.
They were yours.
But they're cool. Standards. And one song that is Joan's. So that was just a real pleasure to sing.
Did you write Mousy?
I didn't write it, no.
You didn't write
that was
it?
That was a B. Kleiban cartoon.
Right,
and
right.
And it was, yeah, I love to eat the mousies. Mousies, what I love to eat. Yep. Bite their little heads off, nibble on thy tiny feet.
That was a favorite.
It was a favorite.
And I would see your face when someone would request it, going,
yep,
and really, do you have to do this?
Seriously, do I have to?
Do it again?
I had something else I'd like to do, but.
Right, as long as we'll sing about mousies.
That's right.
So how did you pick which songs go on which CDs? Did you have a whole bunch all lined up, or did you record them individually from time to time?
Well, I occasionally had the luxury of too many songs. And what I would do, because I'm not the best judge of what my best songs are, I would usually, you know, run them by a friend, or I'd run them by my wife. I'd get people together and say, just let me know which ones you just really, really like. And then we'd go from there. And if they didn't pick one that I really, really liked, oh, well, their vote doesn't matter anyway, does it?
Now, there was, no, Hole in the Day, there was another song you wanted to sing, or was there a song I wanted you to sing?
Well, you wanted me to sing Gift of Age. I wanted to sing Hole in the Day, but I was going to do one of the most recent song that I've written.
Oh, that would be nice.
And, well, it might be.
That would be nice.
We'll find out. Let me see. I'm just going to switch guitar.
Has this been performed anywhere before, or is this new?
It has. It is brand new, but it's been performed in a couple places. I wrote it, like a lot of artists, I think a lot of us were writing about what was happening to us in December and November, December, January, February. And so this was my contribution. Let me get this other guitar out here.
We've got Ann Reed in the studio, and she's going to be singing a song now that I imagine is very topical, which is another thing you do is topical songs.
Well,
and this one is probably going to be very meaningful to us here in Minneapolis.
It's going to be really interesting because this guitar's sound hole is on the top.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
See if you can hear it. Good, yeah. Not gonna back down, not gonna turn around. Not gonna back down, not gonna turn around. We know what we saw. We saw what they did. They did take the lives
of innocence and then light, light. We're not gonna back down, not gonna turn around, not gonna back down, not gonna turn around. Welcome the stranger, stranger now the friend. Friends now in danger, blow the whistle, stand with them. We're not gonna back down, not gonna turn around, not gonna back down, not gonna turn around. We've been through the fire now keeps us warm, warm as we go. Arm in arm and it's 12 below. We're not gonna back down, not gonna turn around, not gonna back down, not gonna turn around. This is our home, this is our home, this is our home, this is our home. Candles in the dark will turn to light up our hearts. Stand together, that's how we fight. We're not gonna back down, not gonna turn around, not gonna back down, not gonna turn around.
Right on. Right on with an R and a W. So you're listening to Right On Radio, and we've had Ann Reed here tonight sharing her music and her thoughts about writing. Do you remember your first song?
I do. This is it's a song that I wrote. This is the first song I wrote and kept. As far as my first song ever, I don't remember, but it's a song called Jessie and Her Train, and it was about a little girl I met on a train that was desperate to have me play songs about trains, and I really couldn't think of any.
Oh.
I mean, I couldn't even think of I've Been Working on the Railroad. I mean, that's how much I was choking. So it was just, I was like, I would an automobile do? You know, and the kid was like, no. So
gotta be about a train.
That was maybe the 80s, you know. I think I had that one on Carpe Diem, the first.
Oh, it is first, on Carpe Diem. Yeah. I just listened to it.
Yeah.
Yes, it is on Carpe Diem.
Yeah.
Which is Ant's first record.
Yeah. Yeah.
From 1981.
You know, I think when you start writing songs, you start by kind of almost trying to mimic, you know, people that you were listening to or people that, you know, whose songs you really loved or the style that you really loved. And it never mimics completely. It kind of ends up becoming your own style in a way, and you start just making sense to yourself as far as finding a way to do it.
Yeah. So you actually put that one on a record?
I did. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That recording is actually a fairly short recording. I didn't really realize how many songs you had to have to make a decent, or how much time you had. And there was a certain amount of time that was good for a one side of an album, the other side of an album. And then when you got into the realm of the CD, then it got a little bit, you know, you could put a lot of stuff on a CD.
Right.
So that was, and some people did, which wasn't always good. But when you had the album inside one and side two, you had to arrange the songs in a way, at least I did, to try to kind of follow a flow that would kind of make sense.
With the lyrics and
the lyrics
stories of the songs,
yeah.
You know. Because you're a storyteller.
Yeah, or just the feelings of the songs, I think, too. Yeah.
Do you think of yourself as a storyteller?
Sometimes. I mean, that's part of being on stage is, you know, not just going from one song to the next, but telling some kind of a story in between, telling either the story of the song or the story of that doesn't relate to the song, but you try to make it relate to the song, you know.
I'm big into Broadway, and I'm doing this 12-episode series about cool. Broadway, and that's my latest excitement about KFAI that I'm doing, and I'm wondering if there are any folk songs that have Broadway influences.
Well, I'm sure there are, but I mean, now on Broadway, you have a whole Broadway show based that Roger Miller did called River that was there. But this one is I did a song. It was a combination. It was on Life Gets Real. I wrote a song called God is Sleeping, and it was I think that God is sleeping, or the angels have resigned. And so I went that, and onto it I tagged a Rodgers and Hammerstein song from South Pacific, which is you have got to be taught to hate and fear day after day, year after year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. That isn't the way they did it in the show.
Right.
But Michael Johnson took it and turned it into that kind of a lullaby almost feeling. So it was just a lovely, beautiful song.
Yes, and that's was a very controversial song.
Yes.
In South Pacific too. It was taken out and put back in.
And it was, I mean, you know, when you think about, you know, people sometimes I think misunderstand Broadway musicals because they say, oh my God, there's just nothing but singing and happy dancing and whatever, and you're kind of going, really?
Really?
Because there's a lot of stuff about, you know, race and cultural things. I mean, it's pretty intense, some of them.
There's Dear Evan Hansen is a musical all about teenage suicide.
Right.
That's
right.
What it's about. And it's a musical.
It's a musical.
You know, and it's got beautiful music, by the way, the songs in that.
But even when you think about the older musicals, when you think about what's going on in The King and I, it's pretty intense. Yes, there's a lot of singing and dancing, but.
And so. Carousel is another example.
Oh, my God, Carousel.
A whole musical about violence.
Yeah.
Domestic violence.
Domestic violence, yeah. It's
even Oklahoma. I mean, the character of Judd is a pornographic collecting murderer.
Yep.
And that's like...
And people kind of forget about that.
Right. That's very heavy, you know. So.
You know, and I mean, Sound of Music, you got nuns and Nazis. Come on, people.
Nuns and Nazis. I love it. Oh, God. If you're interested in these little facts of trivia and want to hear some of this music, the Broadway Project is online. You just go to kfai.org. You look for the search, type in my name, Liz Olds, O-L-D-S, and you will be taken directly to a place where you can hear the projects. So it's thematic, not chronological. So there's like overtures, and then there's duets, and then there's leading ladies and leading men, and kids is one of them. Then the two newest ones, one of them is going to be called Location, Location, Location. And it's all about, yes. Well, you can imagine what that's about.
Yes, yes, yes.
You've been listening to Right on Radio on KFAI, people-powered radio, at 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and streaming on the web at kfai.org.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by Health Partners. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal. More information at healthpartners.com/oneplan.
Looking for a fun summer activity? The Sane Foundation is offering free soccer, basketball, and pickleball camps for youth ages 6 through 12 across the Twin Cities. Kids build skills, confidence, and teamwork in a safe, supportive environment. More information at sanneehcamps.com.
You're listening to Right on Radio on KFAI. I'm Liz Olds. Now back to my interview with singer-songwriter Ann Reed.
Oh, I had a friend who wanted a song. Is it I Am Here?
Oh, I'm All Right?
I'm All Right.
Oh, yeah.
She wanted to
totally
hear that.
Can do that. I have that one.
She wanted to hear that.
Really? Yeah, and I mean, I wrote this song. This is actually fairly recent. It's on the short CD. But I was thinking back to when I was in high school and how absolutely horrible high school was.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, when you're somebody who doesn't fit into anything because you just don't have the language at all. There wasn't anybody talking about gay people then. There wasn't the word gay. There wasn't... Nobody was talking about lesbians in suburban Minneapolis.
Right.
And so if you don't know what that is, you end up feeling pretty crazy. So I was thinking about that time and just feeling like I... Where are my people, you know, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing and just feeling like the world is full of people who feel like square pegs. And so that's what this song is.
Absolutely.
I got the string. Damn well. Okay.
Tell her I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm out walking in the same sunlight as you. Unattractive, weird, not okay. Too much yourself, you can't come in. I bump and roll along, find others on the way. I recognize my kith and kin, and then I sing out, I'm all right. True.
then we all sing, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm out walking in the same sunlight.
I wish there'd been a song like that when I was 17.
Yeah, you know.
What were the songs that you listened to when you were 17? We talked a little bit about, junior high.
You know, I was pretty heavy into, at 17. That was one of the songs,
right,
actually.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Janice Ian. You know, finding Joni Mitchell and Janice Ian and Paul Simon and those songwriters that were, you know, especially Joni Mitchell, because she kind of changed everything. She, you know, her writing was poetry. It was beautiful. Nothing had been done like that before. And, you know, even though some of the songs, I had no idea what she was talking about, I just didn't care. It was great. And I think Janice Ian, with her honesty in her lyrics, just was kind of also a revelation. It's like, wow, you can do that? You can say stuff like that? That's, you know.
Yeah, and women coming forth and saying
exactly.
stuff like that.
Right, yeah. You know, I mean, then there was a whole women's music thing, too, with Chris Williamson and Meg Christian and all. And they were starting to write love songs about other women. And it was like, what? What is this? You know.
I lived in Idaho at the time, and we sat around the record player listening to these songs, going, oh, my God, there's something out there.
I know, yeah.
My God, we're okay.
We're okay.
We're okay.
It's all going to be okay.
Yeah. And then the Women's Music Festival, did you go to the Michigan Women's Music Festival?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't get invited. I would apply to these women's music festivals all the time, and I got invited to the National it wasn't in Champaign. It was in Bloomington, Indiana. But I always tried to get into Michigan because everybody, wherever I would play, somebody would say, are you going to play at Michigan? Are you going to go to Michigan? I'm kind of like, well, you see, you kind of can't just walk in and play. You have to be asked. And I would submit all my stuff and just basically never get in. And so the one year that I actually got in to play the day stage was the year they had the Shigella outbreak. And everybody got sick.
Oh, no.
So I just thought, you know, maybe not for me, the Michigan Music Festival.
Speaking of everybody getting sick, how did COVID affect your writing?
Oh, you know, COVID, I was kind of at a point in my career where I was thinking, you know, do I want to schlep myself all over the country still? Do I want to keep touring? And I'm very much a homebody. I've never really liked touring that much. I enjoy playing, and that's the problem, is that you have to go somewhere to play.
Right.
So, you know, I was kind of contemplating this, and then COVID hit, and it was sort of like, well, now you can't. So what do you think about this? How does this feel? And it actually was okay. I came up with a show that I called Ann Reed Live from Somewhere in Her House. I'm still doing it. It went beyond the couple years of the pandemic and the lockdown. There were people from all over the country tuning in, so I just kept doing it, and they keep showing up. So it's great, fun. But it was hard to write during that, though. I found it hard to write. I wrote some songs during COVID, but I found it difficult. It's like you're so preoccupied with. You know, am I going to get sick? Who's sick? Who's, you know, what are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that we're out of COVID, it sounds like you're still kind of questioning what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm more settled in that. I'm doing a lot of more local, regional kinds of things. I'm performing with other people. I've done some shows with Claudia Schmidt. I'm doing a monthly sing-along with Dan Chouinard. I rarely do a show anymore without Joan Griffith. Mm-hmm. And then I have a little band that we play at memory care places. It's called Polka Soul. And it developed because I wanted to learn how to play the accordion. And because I thought, oh, here's an instrument, you don't have to tune it. You know, and then I thought, this is like the most complicated instrument I've ever played in my life. I know how to play the bass buttons, but, you know, our band was actually made up of people. It was myself and Joan Griffith and her wife, Anita, and we were all playing instruments that we had just had no business playing at all, and we were all going to learn them. And then Joan got us a gig at a memory care facility, and they just loved us. We were playing polkas and sing-alongs and stuff. So we do that, and we have a great time.
Do you play your own songs there as well sometimes?
Or? No, well, Anita's a big fan of Hole in the Day, so somehow that got into the lineup. But otherwise, it's all, I mean, we're doing King of the Road, and we're doing I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, and You know, we're doing all these great songs, and people sing along. People who basically have no language left sing along. You know, the lyrics are up there somewhere and locked in a little room. So it works out really well.
Well, but, music has so much.
Oh, music and
effect.
Poetry.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, I'm just staying busy doing a lot of different things. And like I said, playing regionally, locally, and then just focusing on some more writing.
And that includes your second novel.
My second novel.
Which is?
the name of the, well, the working title right now is called Dog Under the Deck. So we'll see what happens with it. But, yeah.
Do you have a little storyline? Or you just...
Well, it's actually based on the story of when my wife and I moved into our house. And we met, the house had been foreclosed and flipped. And so we bought the house, and we met the woman who had lived in it, and she asked if she could come and dig up her dog. It was under the deck.
Oh, God.
And we kind of went, really? And, you know, being Minnesotans, we kind of went, okay, sure. you can do that. Well, pretty soon we realized that there was no dog under the deck. It was something else entirely. So I'll leave it at that. How's that? That was for a teaser.
Really? Really? What's different to you between writing a song and writing a book, writing a fiction?
Lord. Or... You know, every morning, I start my mornings out by writing a haiku. I've got a group of friends. We write haiku, send it to each other. And then I have another couple of friends. We write short form poems. Mm-hmm. So we have about 14 or 15 different kinds of short form poems, and we kind of go right down the list and every day send things to us. And we did a book, this was during COVID, we put them together and put out a book called The Less Said, a collection of short form poetry. Mm. So it's Gail Hartman and Kate Tucker and I are doing that. So I do that every morning. I have a haiku and a short form poem. And I think, you know, when you're writing a haiku, that's like the shortest thing. It's like you have to get your thoughts together. You have to be a little expressive, but it's three lines. It's 17 syllables. When you're writing a novel, and when you're writing a song, you're, to me, a really super long song better have something going on, or it's just boring. So I try to write songs that are, you know, 3-4 minutes long. So you're working in that framework of the time, you're working with rhythm, you're working with melody, and hopefully, I don't know, I guess songs don't have to rhyme. I like it better when they do. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But with a novel, you've got all this room to tell a story. And in some ways, it's harder for me because I'm used to writing these short, these short little pieces. So it's, yeah.
Songs are... can almost be like little memoirs.
Absolutely.
Wondering if you ever thought of writing your
memoir or your...
You mean like writing a book of memoir?
Writing a book of, of your life.
No.
If there's that yes, no question.
I haven't. But, you know, somebody said, you know, you could write a memoir based on your songs. You could just use your song titles. And I thought, well, I suppose. But
well, that's true. You can use them as the chapter headings. And then
that would assume that I've had this super interesting life, Liz. It's and I have.
I was going to say, performers usually do have pretty interesting lives.
Oh, it's been fun. Yeah. It's been a ball. Yep.
And writers, my brain is not cooperating, but they're interesting lives there too.
There are, but I think the thing with writers and the thing that I'm missing a little bit is actually writing with, I mean, getting together with other writers just because I think it's helpful to know that somebody else is also slogging along and I think you can learn a lot from each other.
Have you ever been in a writer's group?
Well,
I
did have a small writer's group for a while. It's just that it went off into sort of, it's not just writing, it's kind of art. And so it was all sorts of different things, so songs and but it was helpful. It was helpful to have that support.
I think we have filled up the time that we have.
It's been a pleasure.
Like that. It's really been great, Anne. It's been great to have you here. I've been looking forward to this for two months now.
Oh, good.
It'll be good to see you. And Anne and I go back.
We go back a long time.
47 years, I think.
Oh, my
like
God.
That.
Really?
Yes. Oy. We're pushing 50 years.
Yeah.
Because it was 81 that Carpe Diem came out.
Yes, it was.
That's when I met you. We seized the day, both of us.
Yes, we do. Yes, we did.
So, do you have a song you'd like to play us out with?
Yeah, this is a song that I don't have much occasion to re-record songs that I've, you know, songs that I've done before and play them again. But this one, I wanted to. Gift of Age was a recording that I did in my house. And I just... I wanted a better recording of this particular song, so you read a face. There's a dark cloud just behind.
Ann Reed. Wow. Do you write songs for people in specific or just a general?
You mean thinking about a specific person?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Is that about someone specific or just in
no,
general?
No, it was just sort of a general feeling of just, I was having the feeling of, you know, everybody who's out there on the street, anybody that you're looking at, you just have no idea what their life is.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
What kinds of things are happening to them at any given time. And I think it's a really important thing to remember when you're walking around in the world is to give everybody just a little bit of slack.
Really?
Because you don't know what's happened to them that morning or what's going on in their life or, you know, who knows? You know, good news, bad news, we don't know.
Well, it's been good news to have you here.
Oh, it's been great to be here, Liz. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We had some technical things, and Anne has been very patient with us as we have flipped switches.
I know about technical, let me tell you.
Well, just thank you so much, Anne, for being here. We've been listening to Write on Radio with Anne Reed, and she has been very patient with our technical difficulties and very wonderful with the interview, and we just really appreciate you.
Well,
I appreciate you very
well,
much,
Anne. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm so glad you invited me to come in.
Oh, thank you. KFAI is better for it. Stay tuned now for Bonjour, Minnesota.